And I'm grateful for that fire that's burning in our heart. Very thankful for that this morning. And yes, that fire that burns in our heart prepares us for heaven, and we're not interested with it. We have that fire of God burning within our heart that will help us to escape that other fire that he was talking about. We'll be going there. I'd like to turn over into Isaiah, the 41st chapter. And I'd like to ask you also to pray that the word of the Lord would be a blessing to us today. Always feel very needy before the Lord. I'd like to title this, perhaps I'll write it on the board. I think what I've written on the board says, "Fear not." We have a scripture in the Bible that talks about fear has torment. And I think it has that aspect to it, that if we live under dread and fear, it just seems to be an oppressive thing that just it's hard, it's debilitating. Fear is something hard to function under. Fear does have torment in different levels, different reasons. It has bad effect. I think I left my glasses back there. Forgive me. Thank you. But I want to tell you a little bit. This chapter and some verses in this chapter has been very encouraging to me when I was young in the Lord. I had gotten saved. What probably wasn't over, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 months old with the Lord, when I was still going to my senior year in high school, and there were patterns of way I had lived before that was broken, but I was still, the friends were still there, and the temptations were still there, and though I had made a clear declaration, I'm not doing that anymore, we still had the friendship, and there were certain expectations, and they were, my friends were kind of shocked that I was feeling the wearing of the whole situation. And I was struggling, not with desire. I still passionately wanted to serve the Lord. And I remember the things that just had felt kind of wearing on me. And that morning I'd gotten up and had done my morning chores, and I had to be ready to get on the bus by a little before 7 o'clock in the morning. And I just felt like I needed something from the Lord. You ever felt like that? Felt like, "Lord, I just need something special from you today. I feel a little dry. I feel pressed almost out of measure. I really need something from you." And that's kind of how I felt that morning. I'd gotten up and was getting ready to go meet the bus. I bowed down beside my bed and just poured out my heart to the Lord and said, "Lord, give me something. I just feel kind of dry. I feel very needy." And I had this, I felt like in my mind that the Lord heard and answered prayer, and I just opened up my Bible and I expected it to be just exactly what I needed. Felt like it was going to be something special. And my eyes fell on a verse that had been underlined. I didn't ever remember underlining it. And it was in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And it says, "The grass withers, the flower fadeth, the word of the Lord of our God shall stand forever." And I said, and that was good. It's very good. But that just didn't, I thought it was going to be just overwhelmingly good. And I was a little disappointed. I said, "Well, Lord, you know." And I turned the page in my old Bible, and another verse stood out to me. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." And that's where we're going to work in this 41st chapter of Isaiah. today by the help of the Lord. I want to encourage us today because we live in a world that always seems to oppress, always seems to bring reason to worry, to bring reason to be fearful. And it feels like sometimes I don't know about you, but likely you're going to have those times too. You hardly know how to go forward because all this is going on. This is life, and the pressures of life, and sometimes a fear. There's different elements that we face. Sometimes it's the spiritual victories that we need is tied up also with the natural fears that we encounter. It's life. It's all intertwined, and you and I deal with those things. And then the devil in the middle gets in there and starts whispering in our ear and making it a whole lot worse than perhaps it even is. And here we are, wanting to make heaven our home, struggling with those things. And I want to ask you, how do you deal with it? I want to ask you, and I want to point to us this morning a good way, the right way. I think the way the Lord would have us to take those fears and turn them into a victory. Turn them into a place of peace. And it's not in our strength, but in it's coming to the Lord. All right, let's start off here. The beginning of this chapter, he says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak, let us come near to let us come near together to judgment." Well, that verse, when it says, "Keep silence before me," I don't think that should be read or should be spoken in such a way as be quiet. I think it should be understood more in this vein. It's more like a parent. When we've raised children, have you ever observed parents? Maybe a child was wandering around, exploring their world and enjoying and feeling secure. And all of a sudden they realized that maybe their mama or their daddy, they didn't know where they were, or maybe some shocking incident came, some big noise. You know what happens? There's a fear rises in that child and they look around, especially a toddler. I've seen them before get shocked. Maybe perhaps a bad dream woke them up. And this fear, this dread began to arise, and they began to scream and look for some place of security, and they come out needing some help. And what does a mama and daddy do? Take that little child in their arms and say, "Shh, be quiet." It's not a command to be quiet. It's a comforting. "I'm here, child." And I think that's why this verse should be understood. You see, the problem was, the islands, what does that mean? Is he talking to a piece of land jutting up out in some body of water? I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about something that has been separated at a distance. You know, when a child finds themselves in that circumstances, they feel like they're alone. They need help. They're out there. They're away from their place of security. And here we see the voice saying, "Be still." Not a command, but the comforting voice of the Master speaking to our hearts when we feel like we're cut off over in an island over by ourselves. "Oh, be still, child. I'm still here. Feel my arms around you, child. Let me bear you up. Be still. Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength." The fear that you feel right now, the debilitation, this inability, you feel you don't know which way to go, you feel much in need. Oh, there is a God who says, "Be still, I'm here, child. Let the people renew their strength and let them come near. Let them feel my arms around them. Let them speak. And let us come near together to judgment." To who? To judgment? For judgment? This is the God that we serve, the Father that is our Father, our Heavenly Father, takes us in those moments, and is, if there indeed is a lion chasing you, He has authority over all the powers of the enemy. He has the ability to stand as our protector. You know, one time when I was a little boy, probably around four, I stood beside my father, and I always felt secure when I was close to my father. And I remember we was beside this stream, and out in the stream there was this snake swimming along. And my father grabbed a rock and he threw out there, and he must about hit that snake. And the snake got in gear and swam straight toward us, just scooting on that water. And I know the feeling that I had. This isn't right. And I remember feeling an arm reach around me, and I was scooped up off the ground. And I felt secure again. Folks, I don't think that we should feel, in our times of dread, our times of fear, I think we should not only know, but we should also feel that our Heavenly Father scoops us up and has that place of security, of judgment, you see. This isn't I don't mean judgment. Sometimes we perceive that as being He's correcting me. And sometimes He does correct us like that. But you know what? He lays judgment against the things that come against us. Lifts up the standard. Lifts up the barrier. A wall between us and these things. Who raiseth up? And this is a question now. Who raiseth up the righteous man from the east? Well, who's the righteous man from the east he's talking about here? I believe, if we consider this matter, I believe he's talking about, who was it that brought Abraham from the east? Remember, he was from the land of the Chaldees. He was Ur of the Chaldees. That's where he came from. That was a very eastern, if I understand it correctly. I know there's some debate exactly where he came from, but likely from in the southernmost of Iraq or northernmost of Iran, over in that vicinity was the area that this probably was. From the east, he came from there. And who was it that called? Isaiah is speaking this to the Jewish nation. Who raised up your father Abraham? Who raised up the righteous man from the east? Calling him... calling him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. Who was it that did this to Abraham? Abram. Who was it that took him as a man, as an individual, who heard the voice of the Lord and followed him, counted him for righteousness? Who was it that took this man and brought him to this place where he ruled over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword. Remember when he went after the kings that had come and stolen Lot? Abraham went right after them, 400 armed men, and the Lord gave him the victory. And this is a story that these people knew well. He gave them as dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. This was an area, remember? Remember how the Lord had said, get up from here, Abraham. Take your wife. And you leave this area. And Lot followed, I think, his father-in-law. Maybe his father. Also, they went out of that land because the Lord had called them in a path they didn't know. It was the Lord that was doing this. It was the one who had purpose for their life. Folks, I want to tell you, sometimes you're not always going to know the next step is before you. Sometimes you're not always going to know the completeness, except this voice that says, follow me. And within that knowledge, within that voice of the one, that voice that we've heard before and have followed, been willing, that voice is able to take us to the end, to victory, to the place of realization that God's way is best and is right in my life, of complete fulfillment. In a way they didn't know, hadn't gone. Who hath wrought? Again, the question. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last. I am He. I, the Lord, the first and with the last. I wanted to bring, that's what it says right there. I was with the beginning. I was back there. I was the one who called Abraham. I'm the one who called your father, and I'll be with you. I will. What did he say? With the I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, with you and I. Thank the Lord for that promise this morning. When you're fearful, He says, "I am He. I'm the one. I'm there." The isles saw it and feared. And the ends of the earth were afraid. Drew near. Ends of the earth were afraid. Drew near and came. Again, I think sometimes this, yes, there's a place where especially our enemies, the things that would pursue us, those things fear because God is king over all that. God's able to rebuke the wind. God's able to rebuke our foes. I think of how even under the leadership and the direction of the Lord took the children of Israel. Remember when they escaped Egypt and headed down and they followed the pillar of cloud. That they followed the Lord clear down to a place where they came beside an immovable body of water before them that they couldn't pass over in their own strength. And it looked like a perfect trap. The narrow pass that they'd come through to come to this body of water was behind them, and the mountains that would keep them from escaping, and the enemy flowed through the narrow gap, came to them, was coming, and they were saying, "You brought us here." They were fearful. They felt like they were about to die, and the Lord is just mocking us now. And they began to be very troubled in their spirit. I think we would be too if we were there. And they began to call out and accuse Moses, and Moses brought this to the Lord. I noticed also the Lord had already been working on the other side. Seemed like this pillar of fire that had went before the children of Israel had led them to this point. It left in front and came around and stood between them and the foe. And it said, if I remember right, and he looked at the enemy out of that pillar. I don't know what that means. But I thought in my mind, perhaps the enemy had felt so strong. Well, we're the Egyptian army. We conquer everything. We're the greatest and the mightiest army in this region. And they were chasing unarmed, vulnerable people. And here they were coming all of a sudden between them and the certain victory that seemed to be right in front of them. There stood this. Where did this come from? It was the God of Israel. And I, folks, if we want to oppose the God of Israel, I believe we're going to see a face, that we're going to see something that will strike a stirring in our soul. I can't go against Him. I believe the Egyptians, when they saw that pillar of fire, I don't know what kind of a looking must have been, but I believe they began to tremble in their spirit. They stopped. They couldn't go through it. They weren't going past that. In the meantime, the trembling people on the other side began to call out. And and Moses, and their faith was weak. They were very new in this learning how to follow the Lord. And Moses called out to the Lord and made his appeal. You remember what the Lord did? The Lord delivered them. With a mighty hand, the Lord did that. This is the God that Isaiah is reminding them of. Ye isles, those who feel like you're cut off, you feel like you don't know which way to go, and feared the ends of the earth, were afraid and drew near and came. The Lord Himself is our defense. They helped everyone his neighbor and everyone his brother. In this condition, they began to look toward each other. Folks, God wants us to be able to feel the brotherhood, the love that God intends to flow between you and I. And we're in this together as a family, that the Lord would bear us up. And this is what they said. They helped everyone, his neighbor, and everyone, his brother. And they said, be of good courage. They had the fear. There were things around them they didn't understand, didn't know how it was going to turn out. But folks, as we go through life, we're not always going to see way out into the future. But we can have the promises of the Lord and say, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. Notice the different components here that we find within the body. Different ones doing their work, moving forward in their place, doing what God has placed in their hands to do. And so the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. They began to look at each other. The carpenter couldn't be the goldsmith. That wasn't his expertise. But he looked over there and said, brother, you stay right in there. I'm going to need that here in a little bit. I'm building this, and we're going to put gold on the outside of it. Keep after it, brother. Brother, I'm building. Why? You see all this going around. We're probably going to get captured and get torn down. No, brother, keep on. I'm building. There's a purpose to what I'm doing. We want this preserved. Folks, I want to tell you today, when the devil is trying to tear down everything around you and I, trying to get us sidetracked in our mind off on things that are destructive out in the world, and get our time invested in things that we shouldn't invest in. Oh, let's look at each other and say, brother, keep on building. Get the gold. Whatever you're going through, go through. Be encouraged. Don't fail. Continue to move forward. Oh, but it didn't seem, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I feel troubled in my spirit. Oh, folks, let's get a hold of the Lord. Let's seek His face. Ask the Lord to meet with us and be an encouragement and understand what He is and what He means to you and I today. He will not fail us. That's right. He never fails. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed with the hammer. All these different components. Today we have other terminologies we would use. Building techniques have changed. But back then, what they were doing, they needed everyone in their place doing their job for this thing to work. And here the carpenter said to the goldsmith, encouraged goldsmith, and he said, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. We've gotten the work done. We've got that prepared. And he fastened it with nails, and they continued on working. They continued encouraging one another. They continued to build evil even in troubled times. He fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, this is a work of the Lord. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. O thee, O thou, O you who feel troubled and feel like you can't hardly move on. What's he say? What's the next now? I chose you. It is my work. I'm interested in bringing you through. Then he says, Fear thou not. For I am with thee. That to me is a tremendous declaration. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Who is saying this? Who's making this declaration? Is it Baal, or is it my imagination, or is it some other? This is God. This is the one who's real. The one who cares for his children. The one who loves you enough that when you feel absolutely overwhelmed and the bad dream became almost a reality in front of your mind and your eyes, and you're troubled and you throw up your hands and you're crying and you need some help, and it became a nightmare that is real and you don't know which way to turn. And he says, Hush, my child. He doesn't say that to make you feel like you need to be quiet, but he says that to say, I am here. I'm here. There's nothing so calming to a child that's in fear and dread than to feel the strong arms of his daddy scoop him up. That's a fantastic feeling. In your soul and mine, when we find places in our life that we don't know how to handle, and then the Lord comes by and gets a hold of us and holds us in His arms, and He says, Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Sometimes I've read that verse and I thought, why didn't he say, I will uphold thee with my mighty right hand? Is there much difference between the right hand of his righteousness and his mighty right hand? They're both full of power. It is the same. His righteousness, his truth, his existence, and all his power and might is in that. He said, I'll uphold you with who I am. God is righteous. He is pure. He is holy. He is God. He is Jehovah. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who supplies. He's the one who gives. The one who upholds. And I understand, I recognize that when we're sometimes in the battle, we're going to feel sometimes perhaps almost overwhelmed. But I encourage us to cry out to the Lord. Y'all read the book, Hinds Feet on High Places? Anybody? Perhaps a few? I'd encourage you to read that if you haven't done it. Story about somebody who started off, her name was Much Afraid. And it's an allegory, but it's very true in what it portrays. And she was crippled. She was unable to get to where she lived down in the valley, and up there was a beautiful display of the heights, the mountains, and all that grew there, and the snow perhaps on the top. The beautiful scene was there, but always within her mind was the idea that I'll never get there. These feet can't walk there. And if I started, I'm afraid. I can't make it. And as a shepherd in his nature always is, he would stop by once in a while and check on her. And he would say, when he'd catch her longing for the heights, looking at the future and what could be, he would say, I can take you there. No, I'm broken. And plus, I'm too fearful. And I'm going to have to convince it. But the shepherd convinced her that he could take her to the heights. And so she began her journey. And in the journey, there were two mighty helpers that the shepherd gave to her to achieve her goal of the heights of the mountain. You know what their names were? Sorrow and suffering. We don't like embracing those, do we? But there was a time when the shepherd told her that even though you won't always see me, I'll be near. And told her that she could always call out and he would come. And there was a time when she was caught on the precipices of a cliff and craven fear was after her. All these were entities in the story. And she felt like there was no escape. And she flung her voice and passion to the air and said, Shepherd! And he showed up. Have you tried him? In your places of life where you feel like you're on the precipice, you feel like you're about to be cast down, I encourage all of us to try him with the passion of our heart. Cry out. If you even think there's no way he can reach you where you are, cry out. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all that were there. I'm sorry. Behold, all that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. All the enemies, all the design that the devil has to cast down and destroy, the Lord is able to lift up that wall, that barrier, that defense, that he's our protector, he's our good shepherd, he's our father, and he holds us in his hands during those moments when we feel like we can't walk any longer. He shall be ashamed. Those things that come against us will be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Now, I'll encourage us when we start thinking about our enemies that we don't try to put faces to our enemies. Though sometimes it's easy for us to put another person's face as our enemy, that's really not the enemy. The enemy is something that begins to rise up within your soul to taint your spirit. I understand there's some outside forces, but that doesn't have to enter into your soul. And that's where God is asking us today to be in that cleft, that place of protection with Him, leaving those other things and the names and the faces outside, and you and I come into the sanctuary of the Lord in our spirit and in our mind. There is a secret place of the Most High. There is a place that we can rest with Him. A place where the ravenous beast can't find it. A place when you're walking with the Lord and you feel His strength. And those other things that war against thee shall be as nothing and a thing of naught. 13th verse, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Listen to that declaration. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Fear not, I will help thee. 14th verse, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. The Lord knows we're needy. The Lord knows. I'm just like a worm. It's not that He sees us as worthless. That's not how He's viewing this. He said He knows our strength is but little to nothing. We're a worm. We don't have the ability to defend ourselves except that He comes. Fear not, I am with thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, He's our Redeemer. He's the one that knows how to bring us to the place, from that place of destruction to the place of health. From that place where the devil had us to the place of salvation. From the place of fear to the place of comfort. That place, He's our Redeemer. He's all of that in life. He's willing to help you and I in where we're going through today. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Talking here about the things that are difficult, the things that rise up. I'm going to make you a new sharp instrument with teeth. The ability, there's some strength going to come into you. I'll be there. I'll make you be able to stand up. And those things that used to be fearful and a dread to you, you're going to look at it with a different view. Now, that mountain or that ocean that should have killed you before, the Lord said, pick up that rod and speak to it. Hold it out over that rod and I'll make the way. See, the Lord is able to help you and I in every area of our life. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. This is all symbolic language for them. They didn't go out and physically tear down a mountain, but He's talking about the things that would come against them. The Lord would give them victory and power over. Thou shalt fan them as a wind shall carry them, and the wind shall carry them away. The whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Listen to the promises of the Lord to not only the people of Israel back there, but let that come down to you and I today. The same God that we have as our Father. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Sometimes it's hard for us to perceive that there's a possibility for there to be a water in abundance when we're in a desert place. You remember the children of Israel were thirsty, and it was real thirst. Children of Israel began to complain to Moses and said, you brought us out here to just die, and we're dying. Our children are crying. I'm thirsty, and there's no hope as far as my eye can see. There's no water to drink. You brought us out here to die. It's a natural human reaction to think, why? Clearly, You led us to this point, and there's nothing here. Perhaps I think the Lord sometimes allows us to come to a very dry place for various reasons. Sometimes we find ourselves, in a dry place, and I believe sometimes the Lord does that for the purpose that He might show Himself strong, that He might give us greater reason for our faith to be anchored in Him. It's not an easy moment. The thirst was real. The difficulty was real when the child was still crying in their arms, and it was difficult. It was hard. You remember what happened in that desert place, though? They obeyed the Lord. Moses did. And you remember what happened? Water came from that rock. In the dry place, out rivers, you see, began to flow. And think about it for a little bit. I heard one time somebody was trying to explain this from a scientific point of view. He said there's rocks out there that might have hollow places in it, would carry some water in it, and if you hit it, you know, maybe stress was in the rock, the heat, and it broke open, and there was some water in there, and they could drink. There's no way you can water all that got watered by a rock that broke open. It was a river that flowed from a rock. I believe it. Those people lived. Those people drank from that rock. Their cattle did too. That's the God. I understand. I'm like you too. Sometimes we get in the place that I say, where is the answer to this one? As far as the eye can see, there's no hope but God. He comes along and says, I'm the living God. I'm the one who hears and answers prayer. I'm the one who can bring you through. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar. All these trees of value, oil trees, all the buck, all the pine, all these trees that were useful. I'll make something grow there in the midst of that desert. I'll give you springs in that desert place, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Well, I don't know whether I want to go ahead and read more there. Pick up quickly a verse in the 42nd chapter. I just want to read it to you. 8th verse of the 42nd chapter says, I am the Lord. That's my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. But our Lord is almighty and all-powerful. Our God, that God who made all, who brought water from a rock, who caused the Red Sea to part, who caused the Jordan River to part, who caused people to have food laying on the ground every morning. That God, the one who's able, even when they started complaining and wanted, they said, our soul, we're tired of this manna. We're tired of this light bread. And he gave them quail, even though they were a complaining people. His mercy. That God is the one that's still our God. And in our struggles of life, that same God is able to bring us through. I'm not going to tell you how He's going to bring you through, because I don't know. That's in God's hand. He's going to bring you through. Be encouraged. And let the Lord speak to you this morning and say, fear not. Don't be afraid. Perhaps the Lord may be asking somebody to move out in an area of your life to be of service to the Lord. I want to tell you, don't be afraid. Put your hand in the Lord. I don't go in arrogance, but go in the power of the Lord. Perhaps you're going through something that you feel completely pressed out of measure. You don't know how it'll work out. I don't know either. But I know, put it in the hand of the Lord. Perhaps there's other things that oppress your mind and health issues. We all have them, don't we? Fear not. Put our trust and our faith in the Lord. Again, I'm not going to tell you how it's all going to turn out because, quite frankly, everybody that I know throughout history, except Enoch, they went on home. And someday we will too. Not everybody gets healed, folks. But there are healings in life. We do have them. Thank the Lord. We can all, I think sometimes it'd be good for us to spend some time together just sharing the healings that the Lord had done for us. I think it'd be encouraging to us. But I'm not going to tell you how everything's going to turn out except we put our hands in the hand of the Lord. Put our trust in Him. And we cry sometimes out of our fear and out of our dread and out of the things I'm going through. And I cry out because I'm terrified at the moment. And He says, be still, my child. Let me hold you in my arms. Let me comfort you. Fear not, for I am thy God. I will pour strength into you. I will uphold you with my righteousness, my strength, my presence, who I am to you in life. Oh, dear ones, today, fear has torment. Fear will drive us into areas that is damaging to us. And so the Lord says it like this, be still and know that I am God. He will strengthen us. He will uphold us by His righteous way. Pray for me. I want to serve Him. I just want to leave that with us today. I believe the Lord to have us to find that place of peace and rest in Him. Fear not. The Holy One of Israel, our Savior.